You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, guys? It is Thursday, April 4th. This is Locked On Phillies, and I'm Tim Kelly. It is another off day for the Phillies, but that perhaps gives us a better chance to evaluate what was a pretty crazy matinee Wednesday in D.C. I'm not sure you can call it a good game yesterday, but certainly a memorable game. The Phillies made a bunch of errors. The Nationals couldn't figure out how to run the bases. It was a fun one nonetheless, so there's a ton to get into. On the second half of the podcast, we're going to get into some stuff involving Rhys Hoskins and Aaron Nola. The first half, though, I want to focus specifically on David Robertson, so we're going to work backwards here a bit, starting in the bottom of the ninth, when David Robertson gave up a leadoff single to Anthony Rendon, who had a tremendous game. It really is crazy. Anthony Rendon's never been an all-star, and he's going to have a tough road to being an all-star most years because you have Nolan Arenado and Manny Machado both in the National League and both in the National League for maybe the rest of their careers. So he's going to have a tough road, but he's off to a tremendous start. Also hit a home run yesterday. But he had a leadoff single in the ninth inning, and then David Robertson walked three straight batters to lose the game. The Nationals had a walk-off walk to hand the Phillies their first loss of the season. After the game, Robertson was honest. He did not mince words. He said, "I don't know. I've been sucking out there, that's for sure. I throw it over the plate. It gets hit. I can't throw strikes. I'm walking guys and putting guys on. I'm giving them every chance to score runs. I'm pitching like crap, and it sucks. I'm frustrated with myself, and I'm itching for another outing, and I'm just tired of doing badly out there." We'll get to a little bit more on Robertson here in a second. It is refreshing, though, that, and John Clark tweeted out something about this, him and Rhys Hoskins both really did not have good games yesterday, and they were both there after the game ready to answer questions and be accountable. That's something that you get from veteran teams that make the playoffs that, yeah, you'll ride out the highs. Tuesday night was a tremendous game. The Phillies won 8-2. Bryce Harper had an amazing game. But you're not going to win every game. The Phillies were not going to go 162-0. And you're going to lose some games in rough fashion. The key is not to let things get too low and to be accountable and make corrections when you have those type of games. So it was refreshing that David Robertson was there and very honest and open about some of the struggles he's had so far this season. He's only made three appearances, but the concerns are there nonetheless. He's allowed at least a run in each of the first three appearances that he's had in red pinstripes. Obviously, he signed a two-year, $23 million contract this offseason. It's certainly concerning because the Phillies seem, I mean, they don't have a closer. Gabe Kapler has not said so-and-so is the closer. But it does seem, and I think that this is the right path, that they want Sir Anthony Dominguez to pitch in whatever the highest leverage situation is between the starting pitcher exiting the game and the game finishing. Sometimes that'll be in the ninth inning, but a lot of times it'll be in the seventh and eighth inning. Yesterday it was in the eighth inning. And when you're David Robertson and you're a veteran player that's getting paid now a pretty hefty amount and you're asked to come on and keep the game in a tie or close in the ninth inning, the Phillies need to be able to rely on him because if not, you put yourself right back into the same situation you were in last year where either you save Sir Anthony Dominguez for the ninth inning and you risk that the lead doesn't even get to the ninth inning and you wasted saving him, or you use him in the seventh and eighth inning. He does a tremendous job, and he didn't do a tremendous job yesterday, but you're banking on him being effective. He's effective, and then in the ninth inning, you can't hold the lead or you can't keep a tie, and that's obviously not a good solution or a good recipe for making the playoffs and winning a lot of games once you're in the postseason. So it is concerning. I think they want him to be the ninth inning guy in a lot of senses. Gabe Kapler said this after the game. He said, "One thing that stands out to me today is we had three players not have their best games in Aaron Nola, Rhys Hoskins, and David Robertson. And they are all three guys I would push my chips right in right now that are going to win a ton of baseball games and be the central point of those wins." And I agree with him. And we're going to get again to Aaron Nola and Rhys Hoskins after the break. The one thing about this quote is that Gabe Kapler essentially eliminated any thought that, wow, David Robertson's really struggled. Maybe you give some ninth-inning looks to Hector Neris. Maybe you give some late-inning looks to Pat Neshek or Juan Nicasio instead. No, he's going to keep going back to the well with David Robertson. And I think that's one of the things he's really working on this year, Gabe Kapler, that is. is trying to win over some of the veterans. He let Jake Arrieta stay in an extra inning or two when he really could have pulled them after four innings the other day. He's giving a leash here to David Robertson. He's giving a longer leash to Aaron Nola, although we did not see that yesterday. He talked about, and Chris Young, the pitching coach, talked about in the first game, yeah, there's not going to be any 68, him being pulled with 68 pitches. He's made adjustments this year, and obviously, when you have Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, it becomes a lot easier to manage. But people wanted Gabe Kapler to make adjustments, and he's made adjustments. And one of the things that was noticeable about yesterday's game, after they lost, he was a lot more frank and open with the media. It was something Andy McPhail talked about him needing to do last season, where it would be the worst game in the world. The Phillies would suffer a crushing loss and a stretch of bad losses, and he would find the one positive. And there is something in doing that once in a while, but at a certain point, people just want to hear honesty, and that doesn't mean ripping people, but it means sometimes saying, yeah, so-and-so really struggled today, but we really still believe in what they're capable of doing, and we're going to get back out there tomorrow. And that's essentially what he said about David Robertson, and my guess is that he's been one of the most stable relievers in the sport over the last decade, and he'll figure it out. But you never know with relief pitchers. That's what makes someone like Robertson, in theory, so valuable, because he's been so stable since about 2011 at a position where people really aren't stable for a decade or longer, and that's why he was rewarded with a pretty lucrative contract. And the Phillies need him to be able to pitch out a variety of different roles. And if he has something off this year, that certainly puts a dent in what was expected to be a really good bullpen this year. It is also ironic. The Nationals struggled a ton in the eighth inning relief-wise as well. Trevor Rosenthal, from a human standpoint, you feel bad for Trevor Rosenthal because he's back. He's throwing at 100 miles per hour after Tommy John surgery. And he just can't find the strike zone. This is somebody that was an all-star in 2015, I believe, with the Cardinals, was a really good pitcher. You know, obviously, when they're facing the Phillies, you don't feel bad when he loads up the bases. But from a human perspective, you like to see people come back from injuries. In any event, it was ironic that you had these struggles in a game where you have two teams that have been heavily connected to Craig Kimbrel. Obviously, the Braves have as well. But both the Phillies and Nationals have been two. There really hasn't been a favorite for Craig Kimbrel, but there's been a lot of speculation that those three National League East teams are areas where he could end up with the Brewers as well. But yeah, it says something, and you have to think Kimbrel was sitting back yesterday thinking, yeah, I might have to wait till June 1st when teams don't need to surrender a draft pick to sign me, but I'll be in pretty good shape when June 1st hits, because one of these teams is going to have to spend on me. So we'll see what happens. I think David Robertson's going to figure things out, but it's a concerning development even after just three appearances in 2019 nonetheless. Gabe Kapler's quote mentioned Rhys Hoskins and Aaron Nola. We'll get to them on the other side. Guys, after you're done listening, sharing, and downloading Locked On Phillies, BlueChew.com is the perfect place to head if you are having any trouble in the bedroom. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Why pay more just for the name brand? Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants to add extra function and enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online, and it ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy line, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than going to a pharmacy. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Right now, we've got a special deal for my listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 shipping. That's promo code MLB. Again, that's BlueChew.com, BLUE, like the color, BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try it free. BlueChew is better, cheaper, and faster than the other choices. So this may have proven to be a moot point with David Robertson's struggles in the ninth inning, but Sir Anthony Dominguez, after allowing an RBI double to Yan Gomes, got a weak ground ball in the bottom of the eighth inning that should have allowed the inning to end. The Phillies would have had an 8-7 lead heading to the ninth inning, so they would have been in a safe situation regardless of what happened at the top of that inning. Dominguez got a weak ground ball, tossed it over to first on a play that wasn't even particularly close, and Rhys Hoskins just straight up missed the ball. Ricky Bitalico pointed out on the postgame show on NBC Sports Philadelphia that he had the wrong foot on the bag. He seemed to take his eye off of just seeing the ball into the glove and looked at the runner. And it was just, it was strange because it wasn't even a close play. I understand the time of the day, the sun was setting, that may have messed with it a little bit, but you know, you're just left with the thought that, yeah, it's great that Rhys Hoskins is out of left field. He was, for as much as he tried in left field, he just obviously was not a fit. So the Phillies moved Carlos Santana away, opened up first base for Rhys Hoskins. And given the current options, first base is unquestionably the spot on this team that Rhys Hoskins should be playing. But I said this to a lot of people at the when that trade was made. I said, well, don't get too giddy about it because the reality is, despite a nice play, a nice throw to second base Tuesday night, although I'm not sure that throw was necessarily the right baseball play, it worked out. Rhys Hoskins really is just best geared to be a DH, and that's not a diss on him. Some people are just, they can work extremely hard, and fielding just does not come naturally to them. Just in the same way that some people can work really hard and not hit 34 home runs like Rhys Hoskins did a year ago, or go on these torrid streaks like he did in 2017, where he hit a home run in five games in a row in August of 2017. Like, it doesn't come naturally to everyone. And when Bryce Harper signed, a lot of people said, oh, well, the DH is going to come to the National League. And eventually, at some point in Bryce Harper's contract, that's where he's going to be at. And that may be the case. There is a possibility, though, that that comes in 2022. And you keep Bryce Harper in the outfield for a few more years, and you decide, yeah, Rhys Hoskins is going to be the DH, and somebody else that is a better has a better glove at first base is going to be the first baseman. And it is a shame in a sense that that hadn't happened in a scenario where you had Carlos Santana, because look, you can have whatever faults you had with Carlos Santana, but if you had him in this type of lineup where the pressure's off him to be like the cleanup guy where he was miscast last year, he's someone that gets on base a ton, has power, and he is a better fielder at first base than Rhys Hoskins, it would have been a good fit. And come to think of it, I am left thinking about what it would have been like if the DH had been in the National League in the mid-2000s when you had Jim Thome and Ryan Howard. But that's another discussion for another time. The other thing we saw yesterday, Aaron Nola really struggled. He allowed 6 runs over 3 innings. Perhaps there should be a little bit of concern about his velocity, given that not that long ago there was concerned about his arm slot and whether he was going to be able to hold up physically. He had some injuries in 2016 and 2017. But I was actually more caught up by this. You're going to have bad starts as a pitcher. It happens. It's part of the game. I'm not particularly worried. I would imagine Aaron Nola comes back next start and goes 7 innings and allows 2 runs, and we forget all about this. Corey Seidman of NBC Sports Philadelphia tweeted this out. They mentioned it on the broadcast as well. Aaron Nola, prior to yesterday, had 38 straight starts of allowing 4 earned runs or fewer. That is an incredible streak to have. It was the longest active streak in the league, so longer than Corey Kluber or Clayton Kershaw or Max Scherzer or whoever you want to name, Jacob DeGrom. It was the longest streak in the sport. And it was the longest streak in Phillies franchise history, which may actually be more impressive. The Phillies maybe don't have a great franchise history in the grand scheme of things, but they've been around since 1883, and they've had some pretty damn impressive pitchers. You go down this list, Roy Halladay, Jim Bunning, Steve Carlton, Cliff Lee, Grover Cleveland-Alexander, Curt Schilling, Robin Roberts, Cole Hamels. None of them had a streak of 38 straight starts allowing 4 runs or fewer. So in a lot of senses, this is like when Brad Lidge blew his first save in 2009, and it was like, oh, yeah, that sucks. It cost them that individual game. It cost them a chance to save that game. And Aaron Nola's start yesterday obviously did not help the Phillies in a game where they only gave up 3 runs the rest of the game, giving up 6 in 3 innings, put them in a hole early on that they weren't ultimately able to win the game. But you're left saying, Yeah, but that's one out of 39 starts. The 38 prior to that were incredible. Now, hopefully it's not a thing like Brad Lidge, where Lidge blew that first save in 2009, and that was a precursor of things to come, where his as great as his 2008 season was, his 2009 season was an unmitigated disaster, one of the worst seasons a closer has had in modern history, really. I don't expect that to be the case for Aaron Nola, but since I mentioned that, it's probably worth pointing that out as well. It is worth noting how good the Phillies' offense looked again. Regardless of it being a loss, they put up 8 runs again. Bryce Harper reached base 5 more times. After starting that National Series 0-for-2, he got on base the next 7 times he reached, including that Titanic 2-run home run. He's walking at a pretty incredible clip to start the season. And when you have Rhys Hoskins and JT Realmuto and Odubel Herrera and Cesar Hernandez and Michael Franco behind you, you can afford to do that even when you're the person making $26 million on what was a record deal when he signed it. You can afford to do that. And then the times where they have pitched to Bryce Harper, he had a home run Tuesday. He hit a really hard hit, well-struck single that he barreled up yesterday that if they weren't playing no doubles defense, probably would have been a double. So Bryce Harper's been amazing. You had Andrew McCutchen, despite striking out 3 times yesterday, he had a bases-clearing double. He's had some big hits. He has 2 home runs already. He had that bases-clearing double. So it's been an impressive start to Andrew McCutchen's time in Philly after some people said, maybe they overpaid him a little bit. And to a degree with Andrew McCutchen, it's almost unfortunate how good he was at his peak, because if Andrew McCutchen was always just the player he is now, people would say, wow, this is a really good player. But for some reason, Andrew McCutchen's still a really good player now, but it always comes with the with people saying prior to, yeah, but he's not what he used to be. No, he's not what he used to be. He's not the player that won an MVP and finished top 5 in MVP 3 or 4 years in a row in Pittsburgh. But who cares at this point? It's been years since he's been that player, and he's found a second life as a really productive player that's leading off for the Phillies and serving a role that's really good. Scott Kingery had a great slide at home plate. Looked like it was compared to the Matrix by a few people on Twitter. I'm not sure how he made that slide, and it was a great relay from the Nationals to even make it a play at home plate. They just weren't able to slap the tag down. He had pinch hitter. Actually, he came in for Cesar Hernandez as part of a double switch in the 6th inning. Cesar Hernandez earlier in the game had put a strange swing on a ball to left field that brought home a run. He just really is a good natural hitter. He's one of those people, and somebody said this to me about a year ago of Cesar Hernandez, and it stuck with me, that he's one of those guys that he's not going to win accolades, probably never going to make an all-star team, he's not going to be on the Phillies Wall of Fame, but when you look back at this era, you're going to say, he was just a good player. Whatever role you ask him, whether it was a leadoff hitter or 7th hitter now, Cesar Hernandez is just a steady, good player. He gets on base, he hits for a little pop, he's quick. There's flaws, but he fields well. He's just a solid player, so there are some positive takeaways. The Phillies are 4-1. You can't get too down about this game. And that's one of the things that happened last season, is the Phillies would have a loss like this, and it felt like that spiraled, that snowballed with a not just a team with more veterans, but just straight up a better team than what they were a season ago. I'd say better by a large margin. I don't expect that to happen. The Phillies will welcome the Minnesota Twins to Citizens Bank Park this weekend. We will preview that on that series on tomorrow's edition of Locked On Phillies. For now, I'm Tim Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Kelly Sports and read my work on Phillies Nation and 94WIP.com. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.